was sitting in an armchair, and a young lamb was shaking its tail in feeding lamb fashion, as Dickon knelt giving it milk from its bottle. The little girl from India was sitting on a big footstool. "Here is Mr. Roach, Master Colin," said Mrs. Medlock. The young Raja turned. "Oh, you are Roach, are you?" he said. "I sent for you to give you some very important orders."
"Very good, sir."
"I'm going out in my chair this afternoon," said Colin. "If the fresh air agrees with me, I may go out every day. When I go, none of the gardeners are to be anywhere near the long walk by the garden walls. No one is to be there."
"Very good, sir," replied Mr. Roach.
The Rajah waved his hand. "You have my permission to go, Roach?"
"Go, go,"
remarked the crow hoarsely, but not impolitely.
"Very good, sir.
Thank you, sir,"
said Mr. Roach. Outside, in the corridor, he smiled until he almost laughed. "My word," he said. "He's got a fine lordly way with him, hasn't he?" Dickon went back to the garden, and Mary stayed with Colin. She did not think he looked tired, but he was very quiet before their lunch came, and he was quiet while they were eating it. "I can't help thinking about what it will look like. The garden. The springtime. I've never really seen it before. I scarcely ever went out, and when I did go, I never looked at it. I didn't even think about it." A little later, the nurse made Colin ready. She noticed that instead of lying like a log while his clothes were put on, he sat up and made some efforts to help himself. The strongest footman in the house carried Colin downstairs and put him in his wheeled chair. After the manservant and the nurse disappeared inside the house, Dickon began to push the chair, and Colin leaned back and lifted his face to the sky. At last they turned into the long walk by the ivied walls.
"This is it," breathed Mary.
"Is it?" cried Colin. "But I can see nothing. There is no door."
"That's what I thought." And she took hold of the hanging green curtain.
"Oh!"
gasped Colin.
"Here is the door. Dickon, push him in."
And Dickon did. Colin dropped back against his cushions and covered his eyes with his hands and held them there until they were inside and the chair stopped and the door was closed. Not till then did he take them away and look round and round and round.
"I shall get well! I shall get well!" he cried out. "Mary, Dickon, I shall get well, and I shall live..."